This is session 4 of stage 3 of Road to Quran Mastery series. With the grace of Allah, we have finished stage 3, which is Mim Sakina. And we've discussed all the related skills to Mim Sakina: Idhar, Idgham, and Ikhfa. And now is the time to answer some of the questions about the topic. So let's get started with the first question. The first question is, when it comes to doing idgham of either noon or mim sakina, could you show us example of how ghunna sounds versus if someone doesn't apply the ghunna, what that would sound like? Meaning, could you show us how to correctly apply the ghunna and what it would sound like if someone does not perform the ghunna? So let's start with the last bit of the question. What would it sound like if someone does not perform ghunna when they pronounce noon or mim? And here I gotta ask something. Can you not perform ghunna when you pronounce noon or mim? And the answer is simply no. The reason is, ghunna is an inherent part of the making of either of these two sounds, noon or mim. In other words, you can't produce noon or mim without letting air out of your nostrils. And if you don't do that, then it is not noon or mim anymore. This principle applies to many other sounds, actually. For example, the sound se is a fricative sound. And this sound requires tongue placement and forcing air through a narrow place, which is the fricative part. You cannot pronounce the se sound without the fricative quality. Similarly, you cannot pronounce the noon or the mim just by the tongue placement without the ghunna or the air coming out of the nostrils quality. It is just simply impossible. What I emphasize on is to extend the ghunna only for two harakat, not shorter or longer. But the ghunna will happen either way, since if you're pronouncing the noon or the mim, it will have to be performed anyway. So if you pronounce noon or mim, this means you have performed ghunna correctly. And to be 100% sure of this, you can block the nostrils by holding your nose to see what it would sound like. Meh. Neh. As you can hear, the sound is completely ruined because the main quality of the sound is blocked. Therefore, you can't pronounce the sound properly. Next question is, how to master reading a word ending with mim sakina when it is followed by a word starting with the letter fa? This was actually one of the most important things that you have to pay attention to when performing idhar of mim sakina. And in order to get this right 100% of the time, you need to make sure of a very important thing, which is that your lips have been completely closed at the end point of the mim. You don't have to force lips or to do anything extra, but you have to make sure that your lips are 100% closed to properly produce the meh sound. And it would sound and look like this. Hum fiha khalidun. Hum fiha. Hum fiha. So make sure that your lips are sealed before forcing air out for the pronunciation of the fa sound. Next question. How to read two words where the first word ends with nun sakina and the second word starts with sakin as well? For example, fitnatun qalb. And this phenomenon is actually called iltiqa'u sakinayn in Arabic, which is actually a problem when it comes to the Arabic language, simply because in Arabic, no two sukoons can follow one another. Now, of course, there are several rules and cases to solve each case of iltiqa'u sakinayn, but here I'm going to specify the solution when it comes to the nun sakina when it is followed by another sukoon. Now, the only case when nun sakina is followed by another sukoon is when it is followed by hamzat al-wasl. Since when you keep on reading, you will drop the Hamzat al-Wasl, and you would then be left with the next letter that you have to pronounce, which will then have sukoon on top. And the solution for this problem is pretty simple, is that you will add a kasra, which is a short vowel, to the noon sakinah. And this kasra is only visible when you keep on reading. So if you stop at the end of the word, it is not visible, it is not pronounced, and it is only visible when you keep on reading, like in these examples. إِنَّا زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِزِينَةٍ الْكَوَاكِبِ الْمُلْكُ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْحَقُّ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا. So in each of these examples, we linked between the Nun Sakena and the Hamzat Wasl that came after it, or in other words, we just kept on reading, and after Hamzat Al-Wasl, which we are skipping, there will always be a sukoon. And that's why we added the kasra to the Nun Sakena at the end of the previous word. And it sounded like this. زينت الكواكب يومئذ الحق and أموال اقترفتموها. So you simply add kasra under the Nun Sakina if it is followed by Hamzat al-Wasl. Once again, there are several rules and cases related to التقاء الساكنين, which I was planning to explain in this series in the future. So there will be a dedicated lesson to explain all these cases in one go, inshallah. Next question is, whenever I pronounce those letters, ذ, ظ, ك, and ف, with ضمّة, they always sound the same. What should I do to pronounce them differently? First, I believe you meant ك and ق, the ق sound, not the ف, because ك and ف, they are not remotely similar. And the problem with giving advice with pronunciation is quite difficult, since with pronunciation you have to tailor advice according to what exactly the problem is with your pronunciation. And as long as I can't really diagnose or see what the problem is or what you're doing differently, I can't give you the proper advice. So I highly recommend that you would record yourself while reciting the Quran or just recording yourself pronouncing these sounds, and sending them to me, and I will have a look at them, and then I can tailor advice to you so that I can help you with whichever problem you're facing with these sounds. And you can do that through our website by going to Arabic101.org, then ask the teacher, and then after filling in the form, you'll have the option to choose a file from your computer, and then you can send your recorded file, and inshallah, I'll have a look at it, and maybe inshallah, I can help you improve with pronunciation of these sounds. Next question. My question is, why is there a rhombus shape between Mim and Noon in Surah Yusuf, verse 11? Inward ta'manna. And how to pronounce it? Now, this is an advanced skill of tajweed, which is called ishmim. And this is not going to be part of this series, since this series is only for intermediate learners. But I'm going to show you how to pronounce this properly, since pronunciation of this word is not just audible, it has to be visible too. Like I said, it is quite advanced, and the reason behind it, why we're doing it, requires some explanation, which will be done in the future as well, inshallah. And this is how it should sound and look like. ما لك لا تأمنا على يوسف ما لك لا تأمنا على يوسف. So this mouth movement has to be done when you pronounce this word. Next question is, do إخفاء of ميم ساكنة and إقلاب of نون ساكنة apply only between two words, or should we apply if within the same word as well? The first part of the question, إخفاء of ميم ساكنة, must happen between two words. So you will not be able to find an example of ميم ساكنة being followed by باء within the same word. That just doesn't exist, and therefore there is no إخفاء of ميم ساكنة in the middle of the word. It has to be between two words. However, إقلاب of نون ساكنة can happen anywhere. Can be between two words and can happen within the same word. So this example here contains إقلاب within the same word and also إقلاب between two words. So we say
وَأَنْبَتَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ زَوْجٍ بَهِيجٍ.
So here we have إقلاب within the same word in the first word أَنْبَتَتْ, and we also have إقلاب with between two words between the word زَوْج and بَهِيج. Since زوج ends with تنوين كسرة and the word بهيج starts with باء. So that's why we say زوج بهيج. Last question is, can you tell the history of إخفاء ميم ساكنة, and it is difficult to understand the غنة of إخفاء ميم ساكنة for me. First of all, I gotta say that I'm pretty pleased with the questions about advanced skills of تجويد. And I'm pretty happy that you want to learn more. That is fantastic. However, I think that explaining something like this is outside the scope of this series. And I would like to explain it in the more advanced series in the future, inshallah, since it is not directly related to improving our skills of ميم ساكنة. And explaining this particular point at this stage can lead to some confusions. So I'll definitely answer this question, inshallah, as well as the other question about إشمام, but in the most suitable time, inshallah. As for the second part of your question, which is the غنة of إخفاء of ميم ساكنة. In order to perform the إخفاء of ميم ساكنة properly, you need to link the ending of ميم ساكنة with the beginning of the باء in the following word. So when you say بعضهم ببعض, here the ending of the ميم is the same as the beginning of the باء. So saying بعضهم ببعض, it would then be wrong to say بعضهم ببعض. Here I stopped after the ميم and then I started again in the following word with a new lip movement in order to perform the باء. Now let's compare how it looks like when you perform it correctly against when you perform it incorrectly.
بعضهم ببعض. بعضهم ببعض. بعضهم ببعض. بعضهم ببعض.
So this, brothers and sisters, is the last question of today's session. If you have more questions, please leave them for the next session of Q&A, or you can just simply leave them in the comments and I'll do my best to answer your questions as soon as possible, inshallah. Thanks for watching. I hope you've learned something new today. If you did, please like and share the video for other people to learn from it. And don't forget to subscribe to our channel if you want to see more videos like this. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you next time.